Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Great things are in store for those who take Him at His word, who hear Him out. It's to our advantage, to our benefit, to hear the Lord our God out and do the things that He say in His word. The word of God is what we can trust. In a world full of all forms of illusion, the Lord our God is our friend, our very best friend, and He will not guide us wrong. We have to recognize the Holy Spirit. Hear me good. The Father expects us to recognize the blessing of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is holy. And the Holy Spirit will never guide us wrong. And the Lord watches us to see how we respond to Him and how we react. When He put things in our path and in our sight, it's for our benefit, for our blessing. And He will help us do what we have to do. The clues, the works of the Holy Spirit is like many clues to us. He's cluing us into something much greater than what we can ever expect or imagine. Now, the kingdom of heaven is more than what we can expect, what we can imagine. Our greatest desires will be found in the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is now. You believe on Jesus Christ, you entered it. And we have to learn how our kingdom operates. And we have to learn what not to do. The things that the Lord warns us of, that's the poison. That's what's going to cause us unnecessary problems. And the Lord knows this. And He guides us to still waters, the best blessings. He takes us serious. He saves us because He loves us. And you know, these broadcasts, I mention things like this all the time. But when I minister to people and tell them how that the Holy Spirit can guide them in life, they still do it the way that they see fit. Now, this is why, in my opinion, of course. If somebody walk on water, other people will walk on water. The enemy don't want people to know how the Holy Spirit can truly bless their lives. He's trying with all he's got to keep that a secret. The reason is simple. He doesn't want to fight super soldiers. People that will walk in line with God's word and do His will and seek Him out. In life, they live a life that where they become super soldiers. If Christian people live according to the love of God, and they learn how to counter Satan's best tactics, whatever he throw him, they can counter it, they can overcome it, using the word of God, living according to God's word. There's nothing Satan can do. They know that they have power over him. And all they have to do is say, Satan, you can't interfere in our home anymore. Now that's easy. And sometimes things sound so easy that people just discount it. If they get sick, they can say, well, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And they mean it, and they say it in faith. and they get and the children see it, they get used to being healed. It's as easy as picking fruit. And I say that because the Lord once told me that. That's how he made it. But Satan is the one in cold religion. He one of his lies. Powerless religion. A form of religion. That's all Satan has. It won't work. It's actually Antichrist. Satan desperately tries to make it look like what Christ did had no effect on the world. So on the world, he tries to make the world, the people of God, look no better and no different than people that do evil or people that ignore God. But people that left God out of the equation of their life, they can prosper to a certain point. They can do remarkable things because they're made in God's image. But if all the enemy has to do is keep people interested in things that won't work, and then he can make your life look like he wants it to, and he can cause things to look, he's an illusionist. I always say that he's an illusionist, and that's all he's got, lies to neutralize, to take people far away from the things of God. But people that won't fall for that, he has to come up with something else. And it's hard for him to do it. But because when the Lord is guiding you in life, you learn the better way, the better road, the high ground, a life that he can't destroy. And he wants to destroy life. He wants to destroy your life. He wants you to believe his lies, not God's. Not God's word. So people believe, he can't shut it down. But if he can get enough people to just do it the normal way, they'll call the normal way, which is the wrong way, normal. And they won't look for anything else. And then he'll make you feel like, well, if you try to do something greater than this, than what everybody else is doing, you're going to look foolish. But what I found out is that the Holy Spirit will get involved with your life if you invite him. If you invite him, you have to, the Lord wants you to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit, what he came to do, how he came to help. Satan's trying to hide him. And we're somewhere in the middle. But if we choose of our own accord, I'm going to follow God. There's nothing he can do about it. Like I said, if somebody walk on water, other people will start walking on water. When people started preaching healing, people started getting healing. They had healing crusades in the 50s. And a lot of people started getting healed. Now, cold religion used to say that it went out with the apostles, and people still teach. There's a lot of churches, usually with older people that thought that way. They're still lingering. Sweet people, wonderful people. But they were taught wrong and they believe wrong. And they think it's offensive. They think you're offending God if you try to get healed. But they're dying out, you know, because television came about. And a lot of people who dare to believe God had miracles, and they talked about it, and people started getting healed. And a lot of people have been healed. There are testimonies all over the place where people, doctors see people get healed. And people that stay out of the circles of those that get healed, they're around them now. Doctors hear testimonies where people died and went to heaven. And also when they went to hell, and they have to deal with that. One doctor started studying started studying life after death experiences and people getting healed. They can't explain why the cancer's gone. They can't explain how the person got up. Children would be dead for over 40 minutes and they expect them to be a vegetable if they come back, and they come back talking about what they saw in heaven. People that don't know God can do all things are seeing the results of people who believe and receive miracles. And they shouldn't be under normal circumstances. The doctors are right. But when God is involved, things are different. Remember, nothing ever happened to God's resurrection power. He can resurrect anybody he wants to. And anybody that will believe it. And sometimes he has a purpose in people seeing heaven and coming back and telling people about it. And the Lord heals. He bring them back and he raised them from the dead again. And then he bring their body back to life. It's nothing for God. It's easy. It's picking fruit. If a person can go and pick a peach off a tree, that's the same amount of effort it takes to receive healing. And Satan has tried to keep that a secret since from the beginning. The Pharisees were offended. The religious crowd was offended. Their religion, God didn't do that. And they tried to present God in a negative tone, just like the enemy lied to them. But when Moses wrote the law, healing was included. He had protocols. If a person got healed of leprosy, he was supposed to go present himself to the priest. And the priest was going to proclaim him clean and let him go back into society and not in the city where the lepers went, because all the facts in his body are changed. But being when Israel kept going in rebellion, that's how the enemy got a foothold in religion. They saw miracles. They were used to seeing miracles. I thank God that people are more used to it now than they used to be. Because of radio and TV, the enemy fight people that go on radio and TV, the media, with all that he has. He doesn't want people to know how the Holy Spirit can truly bless your life. Now you have to invite him. You have to want him. You have to desire his help. The Lord is looking to see how you will respond to the Holy Spirit. When you see him move, do you join in? Do you step back? Do you want more? The Lord is watching to see how you respond to the Holy Spirit of your own free will. And some people think, well, I got to grow. I got to do something to merit this. And you don't. You can't earn what the Holy Spirit is doing. It's a blessing to you. You just have to receive his help. Join in. You have to just receive his help. He came to help you. He came to guide you in life. You just have to receive it. And if you receive it, you can have it. If his guidance is precious to you, it's precious to you. If his guidance is holy to you, then it's holy to you. And you're not going to miss out. God's not going. He loves you. And he wants you to know the power of God too, for yourself. Not just hear about what somebody else did or how somebody else lived. God loves you just like he loved Moses. He loves you just like he loved Jesus. He want to do things in your life because you're precious to him as well. And so it is with all men. Now, I taught my children there are three things that you're going to really need to receive the guidance of the Holy Spirit. who you marry, and then where you live. Because God, the place you live can be strategic. And what you do for a living. These are choices that the Holy Spirit can help you with. Now, after they were grown, I did tell them in part. I said, what I'm about to say, I told them this in a way, but not as clear as I found to understand it. Now, if you put him first and ask him to help you understand your what you really love in life, he'll help you master it. And he can use it in the kingdom of God. He can use you to be a blessing to people. And you'll love it. If you put him first, he'll guide you to what you love the most. But you have to ask questions and talk to him about it. And this is what I found lately, that this is the way, you know, the Lord always, you grow as you learn. You learn things and you grow from glory to glory. Come up with a plan. Find what you love the most. And the Lord will help you with that. He'll help you learn what you love if you talk to him, if you interact with him. What piques your interest? Ask the Lord to show you those things. That comes from hearing him. He's going to always show you, guide you in life. Some people don't know what they're good at yet because they won't explore. You're going to have to read books. To find it, you're going to have to sometimes watch movies. What piques your curiosity the most? And why? Whatever you gravitate to, that's where God gave you some kind of interest and a gift, a talent that you can hone out, that you can bless. It's gold in them, not his. And once you find it, you're going to love it. Now, what happened to me, my dad bought me a go-kart from Sears and Roebuck. And it had a 2.5 Tecumseh engine on it, 2.5 horsepower Tecumseh engine on it. And it was a two-seater. And it ran good. And just like a Tecumseh motor, it ran, it had that old vibration to it. It didn't run as smooth as the Briggs and Stratton motor. But I didn't know the difference. It was just a motor to me. And Dad told me Tecumseh was an engine, an Indian, and they named that engine after him. He was an Indian chief. And he went down in history as a mighty Indian chief, and they named that motor after him. Well, a friend of mine, Joe Pratt, turned it over. I let him ride, and he turned it over and broke the carburetor housing. And after that, it was already a temperamental motor, which ran good, but I had to work on it. And my dad's friend, Phil Hatcher, came and fixed it. And I watched him fix it. And then whenever it wouldn't crank, I would do what he did. I didn't know what I was doing. But I'd do what he did, and it'll work. I'd take the spark plug out, clean it, put it back in, and crank it. And my friend saw me doing it, and it was amazing that I knew how to do it. But I didn't know how to do it. I was just doing what I saw him do. And I wanted to ride so bad, I always figured out what to do. And I got some tools. I got some of my daddy's tools, and my sister bought me some tools for Christmas one year. And when everybody's mini bike or something wouldn't crank, I had to work on it. Now, in life, I was going to be a carpenter. My dad's cousin came and built a room, and I was interested in doing woodwork and making houses. And I was going to do something with my hands. But machinery, I like it more. And Mama said when I was 3 years old, if a tractor used to ride, go down the road, I'd watch that tractor till it went out of sight. I like machinery. I like fixing things. And it's in my makeup. It's God put that in me. And as a minister, I like to know how things work. I also want to know how do things get to the way it is. I wanted to understand mankind. I like to know how things work. So these interests are in us. We have to go and figure out how, what we like in life. It's rewarding to me to take a car apart and put it back together. And it helps others. And and I enjoy it. It's important. Most people say, I don't see how you do that. I wouldn't want to do that. But everybody's got something that they love. It can be music. It can be fixing things. It can be helping people. You name it, it's out there. God is big and he's good and he thinks of everything. Now, I love music also. Some of my friends were musicians and I got interested in music. And I bought band equipment, but I wanted to play gospel music, and I wanted to write songs that would really stand out. I wanted to do things that hadn't been done. And the Lord gave me some songs, but I don't sing, in my opinion, I don't sing well. And I never learned to play piano and guitar. I can play drums, and I love music. And when I tried to find others that would do the vision I had, no, they weren't. I had problems. And I said, well, I want to get married and start a family. So I went back to what else I love, which is mechanics. That's something I can control, I can do. I can't make other people join in and be dedicated. But I can do that. I know this. I can do this, and I can make money, and I can do things. But so I chose mechanics, and I love what I do. Now, the Lord is wise. He gave me a radio broadcast, and after teaching about following God, and I saw how people were reluctant, the pastors even. That was a reluctance. I said, well, my message is not, I got to do this. And it seemed like people are not grasping it like I thought they would. So if the pastors didn't do it, then I knew the people wouldn't either. I said, I don't want to go on the radio and then struggle to pay for it. I said, I'm going to have to pay for this. And I want everything paid, and I want it to be paid on time. So I started a business. I went back. I used my talent to do what I have to do. And the Lord blessed me. And a lady gave me $100 for over 3 years, every month. And it really helped. It really blessed. Times that I really needed it. And even though I work on cars, I don't gouge people. I charge people a rate. I charge everybody the same thing. And I'm not trying to get rich off people. I could charge a lot more. And I probably should. But I charge a lot less than dealerships. And I do like to help people. And I don't want to be the kind of person that take advantage of people. So the Lord gave me a protocol, because I really don't charge enough, and I know it, and he blessed me to understand that. But there was a point that I at least have to charge a certain amount for certain things. And the Lord will guide you in life, and he'll show you the better way, but then you have to choose to do it. You have to choose his way. And I had my conscience always hindered me from charging like I should. And I used to charge $40 to put brake pads on, which is not bad. But he said charge $50. And a friend of mine came, and I charged. I said, I'll do that, Lord. But I charged him $40 anyway. And he said, you know, the Lord told me to pay you $50. And I knew that I had to do it God's way. So I started charging. I went up to $60. Over time, I changed it from $50 to $60. And I stayed there for years. Just using that for an example. The Holy Spirit will guide you so he can help you. But you have to choose to operate in that wisdom that he gives you. And if you do, it's going to work. You're going to love it. He thinks of everything. We think in part. We think the way we do for many reasons, but the Lord thinks of everything. But following his guidance is key. He will help you do what you got to do. And he can show you a better way of doing it. But he'll show you things that you can be in faith about. He'll show you things, but you have to receive it. People don't always receive the better information because your insight and your concepts are heavy in you. It's in your heart. Changing what's in your heart is not easy. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit to do it. Even the Word of God. Some people came from a family where they argued and they got their point across and they dominated their way through life. And they put their way first and they consider themselves to be right and others to be wrong. Now, that's what's in their heart because of their background. Now, the Lord tell you to love everybody. That's a foreign concept. That concept is not always the first thing people would choose to do. Putting others first, loving them like God loves you. Considering them. Wait a minute. They're a threat. You're looking at them as a threat. That's how you always saw people. Somebody's trying to get you to do their will and not yours. But now God is telling you to love them like he loves you. Now, if you love them, like if you do what the word say do, it's going to work. And you're not going to lose anything. You're going to gain something. God's way is better. But you can't know that until you do it. If somebody say, be mean to me, I'm supposed to be mean back. That's the mindset. That's what people are used to. And then the Lord tell you to do something opposite of what you used to. And it looks like it won't work. It looked like Satan's right about that, and he's not. He set the whole thing up to fail in the first place. Illusions look good sometimes. But you have to challenge them. If you don't challenge them, you won't learn that you have the power. You won't learn. If you were taught that healing went out with the apostles, and it's up to God, and it's hard to receive, then you won't apply for it. You won't try it. But if you start taking the Lord at his word, you're going to find out the illusion is wrong and receiving healing is easy as picking fruit. Salvation is as easy as picking fruit too. You just have to believe on Jesus Christ. And then from the inside, you're going to want to serve God. And if you study the word of God, your desire for the things of God grows and you mature and you learn to use your faith. You learn to use your faith. You learn to apply faith. In the first stages, the Lord's going to help you do it. You have the desire. You have the raw materials for it. But salvation grows in us. And the Lord can. You're going to find out that the illusion is false and the word of God is real. You're going to find out the things that you're used to are wrong. Or at least it's not perfect. Or it's incomplete knowledge. And you're going to find out the word of God is better knowledge. And it'll give you a stronger life. You're going to learn to trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The pastors I mentioned, they were wonderful pastors. They're the kind of people that left churches to receive the Holy Spirit. And they left their home churches that they grew up in. You don't have to speak in tongues and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The pastors taught against all that. And they did go forward. They followed God somewhat. But they didn't follow God fully. And they were wonderful people. They're doing wonderful works now. But what the Lord gave me to give them, that was a better road to walk. And you can't learn it unless you do it. Now, if you involve the Lord, when people fall in love, they get determined. But if you yield to the Holy Spirit, the Lord will show you whether that's the best situation for you and for them or not. So you might want to be married to her, but she may not want to be married to you. Only the Lord knows it. He knows how people think. And he can tell you how it's going to turn out. But it won't mean nothing if you don't listen. If your emotions are too strong, if your emotions are stronger than the voice of God, then you're going to do it your way. But if God's voice is louder than you, you're going to do it his way. And you're going to find out, hey, he's right. But you have to trust him. You have to invite his guidance. And the Lord, you know, we were praying about a house. And the Lord said, when my peace come on you, you don't have to look anymore. When I found the house we bought, the peace of God came on. And I love this place. It's not the best looking house in the world, but I could live here forever and be happy. I like the way the backyard is made. It's suited for what I do. And they're better looking houses, but this is where I felt God's peace. And I'm happy here. And I've been working on it and making it like I want it. He thinks of everything. If you trust him, it's going to be good and you're going to love it. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Trust the Holy Spirit.